Item number 11, from the Labor Relations Specialist, Labor Relations Division, Department of Human Resources, requesting ratification of the 2012 to 2014 Memoranda of Agreement between Milwaukee County and the Milwaukee County Firefighters Association, International Association of Firefighters, Local 1072.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, what you have before you today is a three-year agreement with the Firefighters Union that was voluntarily settled, the first time that we have voluntarily settled an agreement with them in over 10 years. The other contracts all went to interest arbitration. The details of the contract are outlined in the resolution. It's a three-year agreement with wage increases in all 3 years. I won't go through everything that's in here because there are a lot of changes in the contract. There's a step freeze provision in the contract for 2014. Both the health and dental insurance monthly contributions will be in line with everybody else in the county. They are going to a uniform commissary system out at the airport in place of a uniform allowance. The fire chief believes that this is a more economical way to pay for the uniforms out at the fire department. They have a new provision for vacation and off-day carryover that was the result of a grievance arbitration award that we got late last year. Their sick leave is being capped at 1,920 hours. Because of the amount of sick leave that they accrue, it is twice as much as what the cap for general employees is. With respect to pension, they will make a pension contribution for the first time, and now all county employees will be making a pension contribution. They will make a pension contribution of one half of the actuarial determined contribution, which currently is about 5.4%. So they will have that imposed on them in the future. And those are the main points of the contract. The comptroller has done a fiscal note, which is also attached.
Any questions or comments of Mr. Baum? Supervisor Haas, Supervisor Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In reading through the fiscal notes, on table one, the wage and benefit proposal continued. Actually, yes, this is on page two of the fiscal note. Thank you for joining us, Ms. Minsky. Page two of the fiscal note, item 15, earned leave paid at retirement. The tentative agreement says accrued leave is paid in lump sum at retirement. Mr. Chairman, my question very simply is that a standard, is it normal procedure in our current labor environment?
Yeah.
What this is around is, for example, if an individual employee has any accrued vacation, the holiday, other off time, what we've been trying to do is have everybody paid out that time as a lump sum at retirement. So that's called the earned retirement. It's not their pension or any of those types of things. It's just for this amount, because what had happened in the past is that if the accrued time was allowed to be paid out over various periods, the individual would continue to accrue holiday or other earnable time or sick leave or other types of things. So what we've been doing, and generally have an agreement with most of the unions regarding this, is that we pay it out as a lump sum. Once their final day occurs, then we pay it out as a lump sum. So this is just getting the firefighters into that same agreement as we have with many of the others.
Very good. So then, if I understand Mr. Mansky's comment, they were not previously under that, the payout
correct.
Was not in that within that parameter.
Correct.
Previously.
Actually, previously they had either that option or they could stay on the payroll to run out all of their accrued time. And that would extend, like Mr. Mansky said, as they were still on the payroll, they would accrue more sick leave. They would get any holidays that may have come in between. And so now they only have the ability to, or the employer now has the ability just to pay them the lump sum.
For the time they had earned.
Right.
Well,
correct.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Jurczyk?
Yes. Is the administration on board with the presentation being made by Mr. Bell?
Yes.
So the county executive's in agreement with this recommendation?
Correct. That's where the direction came from to come to the tentative agreement.
I just wanted to make sure we heard that. Yeah. And with regard to the fiscal note, just a comment on that. I mean, I see many of the concessions with regard to dental, health care, et cetera, are in a way making up for the 3% increase in pay. I don't know if you agree with that general statement, Mr. Bell, but they gave up, but then they got something for it as well.
Correct.
And I appreciate that. I do not buy in to treating first responders differently than nurses, et cetera. I know Act 10 treats them differently. You know, our employees have taken the same kind of losses with these benefit changes with no commensurate increases in pay. We've heard clearly from them. I'm certainly not going to disagree with your recommendation here for the firefighters, but I hope they understand that they're really getting something that other employees in this county aren't getting. And I want to vote in favor of this with that statement being out there, because I value nurses at Behavioral Health and all of the county services that our employees pay for. Certainly first responders, an extremely important group in county government. But I don't agree with the disparate treatment. It'll be interesting to see how the courts eventually resolve that equal protection issue. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Schmidt?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree a lot with what my colleague just said. I believe offset the wage cost increase a little more the other contract concessions. Basically, where we were in past years with the firefighters, this is... Yeah, lights out. I remember when they were asking in the arbitration we lost a couple of years ago, if I remember, that when we didn't think they'd get some of these things they could get. So they've been kind of a separate situation in the beginning. But I thought that the fact that they're making a pension contribution and the longevity, the step increases is where we kind of balance out why it doesn't become, I mean, I see 5,000, 20,000, 30,000. So the fiscal impact compared to what we've seen in past years, I mean, I think is very favorable, and I understand the comments there. But is that where we're making up the differences in the pay raise, those two examples I just mentioned?
All of those are included, and I failed to mention in the summary that they have, there will be no longevity payments in 2014.
Okay.
So that's another thing that they will not get budgets for next year. The big one is the pension contribution.
I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a question about page 14 of the fiscal analysis, and it talks about the administrative costs associated with implementing the whole contract, and it kind of talks about something that has not yet been determined, so I just wanted you to review that. To explain that to me of how that works. Are we saying, because it hasn't been determined yet, we're moving forward and we'll just look at it over time?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, generally we put this statement in there to give you an idea of what the administrative costs that we would have to occur. And generally it's indicated that it will require just internal resources and internal time in which to do it. And so we will implement it upon its adoption and place the changes into there. If any of these items, some of these items will require a back payment, Mm-hmm. So we will begin the process of calculating that back payment and then getting that out. So we'll implement the changes regarding the wage rate changes and the other changes, and those will go into place. But as far as if any of this goes back and some of these pay increases go back to prior years, then that will take a little longer in which to calculate, but then we will get that out for them.
Gotcha. Okay. I think I'm following this correctly. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions on this contract? Not, do we have a motion yet? Supervisor Schmidt moves approval of the contract. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm not under. I think I understand all the provisions that are out, all the changes that are outlined. I'm just trying to understand the how it is, sort of how it's summed up, the cumulative lift percentage. When I compare table 2, which talks about, this is, I'm sorry, what page? We all have, seemingly have different, it's, of the packet, it's page 113. Talks about the cumulative lift percentage wages on base wage over the 3 years. It's just shy of 8%, 7.98%. But I'm trying to understand that because in another section, in table 4, can you explain, what's the difference? What are these two tables, what are they showing me different between table 2 and table 4? Because in that one, the annualized cumulative lift, the line 15 there is 5.79%, so a little less than 2% a year. I'm trying to understand the what's being shown in the two different charts, and I guess what I'm trying to understand is in comparison to what we've been doing with others. So, you know, we just adopted a budget where we heard that it was effectively a net pay cut because of all the health care changes, even with a 1% raise or whatever, versus this that seems to be characterized as an almost 3% a year lift in chart 2. Can you help me understand? So if someone were to ask me, so what was the net effect to them? Did they get an almost 3% a year lift, or is that not including other factors?
Mr. Mansky?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, the purpose of Table 2 is to provide you a comparison of what's happening, or to show you what's happening in each individual year as increases occur.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if we just look at pay period 24, 2012, an increase of 3%, you see that has, because that's later in the year, that's only a $3,900 impact in that year, but in each of the years thereafter, it's a $34,000 impact. And if you look at the two events that occur in 2014, in period 12 of 2014, there's 1.25%. In period 24, 1.25%. You can see the impact is only $9,860 and $2,852. What we realized when we started doing these fiscal notes is that if you didn't look 1 year beyond and saw what the total impact was, because you could give somebody a 4% increase on pay period 26 of the end of that year, and you'd go like, there's not much of an increase. So what Table 2 shows you is what the impact is in each of the individual years, and that's saying an overall increase of 3.95% down on the very bottom. What you need to look at, and that's the purpose of Table 4, what's going to happen in the year after when everything is in place and all of the items are there. So this gives you an idea of when everything's in place, the full amount of the value of 2014 increases are in place. They would be receiving a 9.54% total increase, which means about 3% a year. Mm-hmm. And if you consider the FICA and the pension and that, it's around 11.26%. Offsetting that would be the pension contribution, the longevity pay deferral, and the contribution to health and dental, bringing it down to 5.79%. This chart we decided needed to be presented to people, and historically we've always presented this chart just because of the fact that sometimes things happen right near the end of a contract term and you need to see what the impact would be in the subsequent mm-hmm. year. So this kind of gives you a view of when everything's in place, what is it going to look like? And so this is where you would kind of go to tell people what's the total impact.
Very good. So table four is really more accurate,
right.
Sort of.
The reason we do the other chart is so as to indicate, for example, we're going to be going into the 2014 budget year so that you can tell what's the impact on 2014 for that individual year. But we want to give you a total impact, and so that's the purpose of Table 4. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Any
questions?
No, it's just a little hard to do at the same time that, you know, after adopting the budget we did, to see that. I mean, I see that once you net out that pension contribution, you know, it does drop down to just under 6% left. But so then the starting point for the next contract assumes the continuation of that pension contribution, or where do we start? So we start there with the assumption that that remains at the actuarial rate.
The language is written in such a way that when there's a change in that percentage, it'll automatically go into place. It's not a specific figure. It's written in a way that it will change when the one half of the arc does change.
And then
when the actuary makes that calculation.
And then what, since that's the big offset here to the 9.5% on wages, what's the does that become a negotiable item in the next contract, or the assumption is that it remains, I guess?
Well, they can ask that it be changed, but we will not agree to that.
Yeah.
That is still negotiable anyway for the firefighters.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, thank you. It's just it's a tough one.
You see it in that perspective.
Mm-hmm. Any further discussion? If not, we have a motion by Supervisor Schmidt to approve the contract. Take the roll on the motion.
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Roma West?
Aye.
Jurczyk?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
9 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to approve prevails.